Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. As I said, probably won't be till after our Bible conference that we start a new book of the Bible. Still praying which book of the Bible that will be. There's a chance it might even be the book of Proverbs. I enjoy studying through Proverbs. I enjoy, it's my goal, one of my disciplines is to read a Proverbs a day. And I usually do pretty good at that. I don't always do it, but I do my best to get it done. And Proverbs chapter 3 has some familiar verses in it. But I think we can encourage you with some things tonight. We're just going to kind of walk through the passages of Scripture. And at the end, we're going to make some application about one particular part. The title of tonight's message is Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. As we go through chapter 3 in the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through 10, I want you to see here how it kind of goes. They give you a commandment, and then there's a reward. There's an admonition, and then there's you're reaping a benefit. And I know some of the people's life verses are found in verses 5 and 6, but there's some keys here that I think can help us tonight as we look at this, and it kind of goes back and forth. Let's look here. Let's just jump right into the message in Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 1. It says, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." So there's a commandment there. There's an admonition. There is a instruction that says, look, okay, now don't forget my law, but also put it inside your heart. Now you see the reward or the reaping of the success here. For the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Verse number 3, you see another commandment. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. And then you're going to see the reward. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse number 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understandings. Now, this is a little bit different because in verse number 6, it continues on with the instruction for part of it. And all thy ways acknowledge him. And then you receive the reward or the benefit, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse number 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse number 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse number 9, another commandment, honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Some different things that when I was beginning to look at the message and teach, I was trying to figure out the title, and I thought about putting health and wealth up there. Because you look at what it says here in verse number 8, it's going to be health to thy navel. Verse number 10, it talks about wealth. But you know, there's that health and wealth movement that's out there today where there's people who say, if you are sick, you're doing something wrong. That if you're right with the Lord, you should never get sick. And if you're right with the Lord, you should always have riches. And there are people out there who preach that and teach that. And it's a false teaching. And it's a false doctrine. It's not found anywhere in the Bible. But here, the Bible is teaching us God's way to be healthy and God's way to be prosperous. And it's found here is about how we do this. And you see that in verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. So I think we all want to prosper. I think we all want to be healthy. I don't think anybody says, okay, I want to struggle. I want to end up being in, having tremendous debt. I want to end up just being unhealthy all the time and not being prosperous in my life. I don't think anybody wakes up or anybody says, this is my life goal is to be completely unhappy and unsatisfied and unprosperous in my life. I don't think anybody thinks that. Anybody's not shooting for that. And here in these verses and in this chapter, if we're going to build up here, we're going to go through these verses one at a time and go over these a little bit, give you a little bit of explanation. And at the end, what we're going to focus on is what's found in verse number 6, and all thy ways acknowledge him. And that's the point here. I wanted to get are we really acknowledging him in all of our ways? But let's go back to verse number 1. We're going to take this little by little, walk through the passages of Scripture, and just learn a little bit from it tonight. Remember, I think there's some instruction here, and then there's reaping. There's some commandments that God's giving, but he's showing you the benefits. I tell you, it's much better to live for the Lord. It's much easier if you're going to do things God's way. If you're going to listen to him, live for him, all those different things, it is something that will, in the end, be health to your neighbor and also prosperous. Let's look here in verse number 1. My son, forget not my law. So first thing he says is, look, don't forget my law. And I think this is kind of interesting. You can't forget something that you never knew. You can't forget something that you never knew. So I think it's something that we must remember when we're thinking about the law, thinking about the Lord, thinking about God's word. We must acquaint ourselves with God's word. We must acquaint ourselves with the law of God. And sometimes people use this as a way to hide and say, okay, well, I just never knew that. I didn't forget that. I didn't know that, you know, the sins of omission. But in all reality, that he's saying, look, don't forget it. These, and we have the Bible here. We should not use that as an excuse. I just didn't know. Obviously, we learn things, we're taught things, we grow. The deeper we get into the Word of God, the more opening of our understanding will be. The Holy Spirit will give us more teaching, more understanding. So, yes, there will be things that we learn. But we got to be acquainted with the Word of God. How do we get acquainted with the Word of God? We read it. We memorize it. We listen to people talk about it. We listen to people preach about it. We listen to what people have written about it. So it continues on. It says, look, don't forget my law, which is a head knowledge. Now here's in the second phrase. It says, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So more than just not forgetting it in your mind, make it something that's in your heart. Make it something that is personal. And it makes it not just a head knowledge, but it's a heart knowledge. And in verse number 2, it shows you some of the reward. And look at this. So for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. And these are some benefits here. If you're going to listen, learn God's word, but not just only learn it, but you apply it to your heart and you keep it in your heart, that length of days, and I think that you say, well, it says length of days and long life. You know, aren't they the same thing? Well, length of days also can give the representation of being a full day. It's something that is, you can enjoy your day, and the length of day that you can be prosperous and you can get a full amount of things that you want done, I believe. And long life is something that I think is right for a Christian. You know, obviously, to live a godly life is a lot better than living a wicked life. When you think about when you go to the doctors and the doctors say, you know, do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you do this? I think it's great when you say, no, 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 no. Then they say, well, do you drink soda? I'm like, oh, we don't want to talk about that. So they don't ask that question, but that's something they probably should put on there. Do you exercise like you're supposed to? You know, things like that. But, you know, there is ungodly living that's out there that causes sin. You even think about sexual type diseases. If you're living a godly life and inside the godly standards, you know what? You're going to have a healthier life than those that are out there doing drugs and those that are out there doing the things of the world. The probably my favorite one in this whole part is the third thing is peace. Boy, to have God's peace is something that is going to help you. Not only to make it through today, but physically. God's peace is something that is, so much stress is on people's lives today, and they don't have the peace of God in their lives, and their lives are being cut short because they're so nervous and so anxious, and they're filling their bodies with medicines that can hurt them because of the fact they don't have the peace of God on there. But if we will learn to learn God's words and we'll hide them in their heart, God says that we'll have peace. These things will be added to you. Now it's kind of going to build here. Look what it says in verse number 3. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee, bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So that mercy, God's mercy and God's truth is there. And he's saying, don't let it forsake thee. Don't leave it. Don't let it get away. And there's, when I was thinking about this passage of scripture, I thought about God's mercy. And it just brought me to my memory that I never want to forget where I could be if it wasn't for God. I don't know about you. I've heard people give that testimony. I don't know where I'd be if it was not for God. And that's the truth of my life. If it was not for God's mercy, I love the fact if you go back in your life and you consider all the things that God has brought in your life and all the different avenues God has taken you, all the different directions and leadership, and you can go back. I know I can go back as a child and see how much God loved me and how much God pursued after me and how much God wanted me to be saved and how much God wanted me to be in a ministry and how God directed me and led me to great big decisions in my life and the little decisions from to my marrying my wife to coming to Faith Baptist Church to my children, all those different things. And that's where you get into verse number 6, you know, he shall direct thy paths. And it's so when you get here, it's the mercy of God that I'm here. It's God's mercy that we're not consumed. And so it's saying here, okay, Pastor, what do you mean then that we should not forsake it? Well, I began to think what I'm getting out of it is, if we will remember that it's only by God's mercy that we're here, and it's only by God's mercy we have all the wonderful things that we have, and we don't get what we deserve, which because of our sin, we deserve hell, but thankfully Jesus Christ died and gave us a way to salvation, gave us a way to spend eternity in heaven. If we don't let that forsake us, how much different are we going to look at our lives? How much better is it going to look when we're looking at things saying, you know what? I'm on my way to heaven. I got a God that loves me, a God that can do anything for me, and a God that desires for it to be used of God. Or we can look at it and forget about the mercies of God, forget about that all these things that God could allow to happen to us, and we focus on these things that we don't have. Oh, I wish I had a better husband or better wife. I wish I had a better house, a better car. I wish I had a better job. I wish I had a better boss. I wish I had a better children. You know, we forget about the mercies of God, and this is what we need is God's mercies. We don't really want what we deserve. We think we deserve all this, but we forget about the mercies of God. And if we don't forsake the mercies of God, and the Bible says here that actually if we wear it as a ornament around our neck, it says, bind them about thy neck. And that connotation many times gives it like an ornament. You know how our ladies with the wear jewelry, you know, wear something many times that is very attractive and something that's very pretty. And it's saying, if you do not forsake the mercy of God, you are going to live a life that's going to shine forth as an ornament that's going to say to the people in this world, hey, this is the life you can have if you understand the mercy of God. I don't know about you, but there's some people who are just sweet. There are some people who is just great to be around, and you can see that they believe in God's mercy, and they're not going to let it forsake them, and they're going to realize and understand that they have a Christian character and a Christian, it's like a jewel around them because of the sweetness that they have, and it's because they understand the mercy of God, and it's something that is beautiful about them. And then they don't even stop it, but putting it outwardly. You see that they write it upon the table of their own heart. They keep on reminding themselves. They put it in their most inner being, their center of their lives. It's like, you know what? It could be a lot worse. I think it's by the mercy of God we were born in America. And you say, well, what about the other people? That's fine. They have their own mercies that God has done, but it's by the mercy of God we have this, and the mercies of God we have this and this. You know, there's so many things that we can say, thank goodness for the mercies of God. But then it's not just the mercy of God. It says, let not mercy, but also truth. We have the truth of God and the truth of God's word here. And we can put it on our lives, and it can be in our lives, and it can be written upon the tables of our own heart to where it shows as an ornament. And I think it's a wonderful thing here. There's a commandment here. He says, look, okay, you're going to have length of days, you're going to have long life, you're going to have peace. But now look, if you take the mercy of God and you don't forget it, and you don't forsake the truth of God, and you put them as for the whole world to see, but also in your private life, then it says in verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I don't know about you, but I want the favor of God in my life. I want God's blessing on my life. I know it says, and man also, and it's amazing how God can make even the enemies of man to be at peace with them. And it's a person that has the mercy of God and is not forsaking the truth of God, that God can even make their enemies be at peace with them. But it's saying that we can have fine favor and good understanding. I don't know about you, but there's many times when I want good understanding. There's many times when I want truth. I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. I don't know what the next avenue is. Sometimes when you're dealing with individuals, sometimes when you're dealing with just different characters and different things, different emotions, you know, different cultures, different even different decades, different generations, there's challenges there. There's challenges for men to try to understand women. There's challenges for women to understand men. You know, there's all types of challenges, but he's saying that we can have good understanding, that he will give us wisdom and leadership and guide us. And how is that going to happen? It's going to happen when we do verse number 3, is when we understand the mercy of God and we take the truth of God and we don't run away from it. We don't forsake it. We don't say, okay, I know this is God's mercy. I know this is God's truth, but this is what I'm going to be looking for. I'm going to look over here. I'm going to believe what the world says. Then it goes on to verse number 5. Once again, I know this is some people's life verse, and I think it's a great verse. But some people leave verses 1-4 out. See, verse number 1, there's commandments there. Look, don't forget my law. Become acquainted with my law. Look, memorize it. Put it in your heart. Now look, don't forget about God's mercy. Now don't forget about God's truth. Write that upon your heart. Now, after you do what's found in verse number 1, and after you do what's found in verse number 3, now you trust in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I've met people say, I'm just trusting in God. They're not trusting in God with their life at all. They're living a wicked life that's contrary to the Bible and says, oh, God's going to take care of me. And I'm thinking, yeah, God's going to take care of you, but it's not going to be the way you think he is. He's going to keep on, if you're a child of his, he's going to keep on chastening you till you get to the point where he brings you back into fellowship. I was talking to someone on the phone today, and they were discussing all the concerns and all the issues and all the problems and different things like that. And they're at the end, they're like, I'm just trusting in God. You need to get in church. You need to live according to what the Bible says, things like that. And I'm not picking on anyone, but, you know, if we're saying we're trusting the Lord with all thine heart, our heart's got to be right first to be able to trust in him and have that confidence in him. That word trust, it talks about having confidence in him. It talks about having we put our faith in him. But some people change who God is. At least they change who they think God is. This is what I think God says. This is what I think God. And they put God in some type of box to match their situation and their circumstances. But they are forsaking the truth. They're forsaking the mercies of God. They have not listened to his law. They have not put in their heart. And when they say, trust in the Lord, I'm just trusting in God. Well, they're not trusting in the God of the Bible. They're trusting in the God that they have created, which is themselves, because they are listening to the way that they think instead of the way God thinks. And here it goes, with all thine heart. And it's not just part of it, with all thine heart. I think many times this is where we come, is that we trust in God with a portion of our heart. We talked about in Sunday school last week about not giving a place for the devil. And we talked about when it came to bitterness and forgiveness, how many times people will take and they'll say, okay, Lord, you can have all this, but this 10% or this 15 or 20% is bitterness. I'm not going to get right. I don't think that person deserves forgiveness. And we give this portion of our heart over to the devil. And you say, well, we wouldn't say that, but that's what we're doing. We give the rest of it over to God, but, you know, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, with everything in us, with all of our being, that we're going to trust in him. And it continues on. It says, we're going to lean not into our own understanding. And this is what, you know, we're leaning on. It's what we're trusting in. It's like, well, this is how I feel. It's when we lean on him. So here you go. You got it again. He said, trust in the Lord. Once again, there's commandments. And that verse number 6, once again, it continues on with the commandments. I know it breaks down the pattern a little bit. And all thy ways acknowledge him. We're going to talk about that in a little while. But see the benefit here. And I think this is maybe the greatest benefit at all. I think this might be better than length of days. I think this might be better than long life, better than peace, better than even the things we talk about, the favor, is when the Lord will direct our paths. I need that. I don't know about you. As a husband and as a pastor and as a father, I need the Lord to direct my paths. Because I don't know what to do sometimes. Maybe you have all the answers. I don't. I'm willing to say I need to depend on God to give me the leadership and the guidance and his direction. And sometimes it's just, Lord, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Lord, if I don't hear from you, I don't know where to go. I don't want to go the wrong way. I want to go the wrong direction. And, you know, it's so easy to trust in our own ways. The Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And when it says here that we need to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, that means we need to put all our confidence in God and his word, because our hearts are desperately wicked, it says. But we see the reward here. And this word acknowledge means to notice, to give particular regard to. And if we're going to let him direct our paths, what an amazing story he can write. We can be a main character in the story of God, of our life for God. You think about the Josephs. Nobody could have ever written that story about Joseph. Sometimes you watch things on TV and you're just like, that is so unrealistic. No way any of that could ever happen. It's so stupid. You could even, you know, you saw the ending coming. Oh, it's just ridiculous. I don't know why I wasted my time. You know, if they wrote that story about Joseph before, you know, if it wasn't found in the Bible, we'd be like, that could have never happened. That's just crazy. But God directed his paths. You think about David and King Saul. How was he going to know where to hide, to be in that cave when King Saul came, and to be able to scurry around, and how he went from being the shepherd boy, being faithful, to the giant killer, to the one being chased by the king, to the one to be the great king of David, great King David, writing all those Psalms. That's where the leadership of God comes from. We need God to lead us and guide us. And think about your own story. Think about those times when you're living for God and you see God answering prayers, and you see God using you, and you see God blessing you. You see God doing things in you and in your life and in your family's life. That's what I'm looking for, is the direction of God. Then he keeps on going down to verse number 10. After you've done verse number 1 and verse number 3 and verse number 5 and a portion of verse number 6, then he continues, okay, after you've done all these things, be not wise in thine own eyes. He says, you've got this all figured out here. Now, don't let your own wisdom, the things that you see happen, because sometimes we know the truth of the Bible. We have not forsaken the truth. We have not forsaken the mercy of God. But something happens in our lives and our eyes see something and that does not make sense to us. Our wisdom tells us, okay, this is happening. This is what I need to do. He says, no, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Even when it might not make sense out here in the world, still fear the Lord. Even when the world is screaming, your flesh is screaming, do it this way. He says, no, fear the Lord. Acknowledge God in that situation. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then it goes and then you get your health and wealth here. And it's healthy for you. As you humbly subject yourself to God, not wise in our own eye, we fear God, we respect him. We want to be wise in his wisdom, don't want to be wise in man's wisdom. We depart from evil. We see healthiness. And as I mentioned earlier, healthiness is good for you. It's strength to your navel. The Bible says envy is rottenness to the bone. The sorrow of this world dries you up, but the hope and joy that's found in God is a marrow to them. And this idea of marrow means like a water or drink to the bones. It's healthiness. Verse number 9 says honor. And what's this word honor mean? Means the esteem due. It gives esteem due. Also reverence. So not only is it just saying, do this with your substance, it means honor the Lord with your substance. That means doing it in the right way with the right heart attitude. It means giving him out of a reverence and a love and a respect. Some people, if they're giving, they're like, well, I'll do it if I have to. I'm not going to like it. That's not honoring to God. That's seeing God and seeing us and realizing what is his and what is ours. And Lord, I want to honor you with this. I want to give you the due, the respect, the reverence that you're due and what you've asked me to do. And that's what he says here, honor the Lord with thy substance. And you see, substance is referring to what? The things that we already have, our goods, our estate. Sometimes I think that when we think about the different things we use our possessions with, I don't think we should use our car to do wicked things with, because that's part of our substance, is what we have. We need to honor God with it. We got a house there. We need to honor God with our house. We need to honor God with the possessions that we have. And I think it's important that sometimes people take and they're like, well, this is mine. I can do whatever I want with it. But that's not what it's saying here. It was that we need to give a reverence to God with our substance. Sometimes when we talk about using, people use their maybe vehicles or use their tools or use their possessions and do different things around the church. They help do cultivate things and all these other things. And this is their substance. And yes, they could say, this is mine. I'm not going to let anybody use it. It's going to be wear and tear on this machine, or it's going to put this wear and tear. A blade might get broken if I'm using, they don't look at it that way. They're looking at, this is my substance that God's given me. I'm going to honor God with this substance by using it for the work of God. And then it goes, Pastor, you're talking about the tithe. So no. The next phrase, it says, and with the first fruits, all thine increase. It's in addition to this, the things that we have, the things that we have already been blessed with, let's honor God with those things. And with the first fruits of thine increases, when we get an increase, that's when we also give of those first fruits, when we talk about the tithes. And then it goes on to say, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. It doesn't say bags. I think it says barns. That's wonderful. Be filled with plenty, and the presses shall burst out with new wine. Do I understand what all that means? You can believe it as you say it, but I know there's some people that have plenty. The book of Proverbs even talks about that. Those who are poor that have plenty, and those who are rich that are in need. And I know I've met some people who have honored the Lord with their substance, and people who have given of their first fruits of their increase. They are so much happier than a person who has been stingy with God. So much more. They have plenty. They have more than they need. Now, there's others who are bitter, always looking for whatever they can have next. Always, the Bible talks about those that are greedy of gain, trouble with the whole house, and those that desire gifts, and those this and this, and it talks all through it in the book of Proverbs. It's a great book of the Bible. But I've seen some people who have next to nothing, and they're happier than anybody else. How does that happen? what they've learned to do, what it says in verse number 1 and verse number 3 and verse number 5 and verse number 7 and in verse number 9, and their lives are filled with plenty. It's, their cup runneth over. They're overjoyed. It's just great. So the little phrase I want us to look at in just for a few minutes and consider is found in verse number 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And that's what the, when I was studying through, this is the main thing. I began thinking, do I acknowledge God in all my ways? What does the word acknowledge mean again? The word acknowledge means to notice with particular regard. It means that we give notice to God in particular regard. So I you know, when you preach, lots of times you like to have alliteration and you put all those different letters. So I use the letter M. I'm sure you can use different letters, but I thought about my movements. The things I do. Do I acknowledge God with the things I do? My movements. Do I acknowledge God with the way I treat other people? Do I acknowledge God with the way I take care of myself? And yes, I know I'm preaching to myself too, because, you know, we should be good stewards of the bodies God's given me. But even step further, do I acknowledge God when I listen to certain music? Do I acknowledge God when I watch certain TV? Do I acknowledge God with my movements when I'm on the internet and I have those sites that could pop up or those places I go? Am I acknowledging God? Am I giving recognition to God? Am I saying to God, Lord, I notice you and I'm regarding you as I do these movements, as I do these things, as I drive a certain way or as I visit a certain person or as I do all these different things with my action. Am I acknowledging that that you see me and that you are my God and that I am bought with a price and it's not about me, it's about you? Do I acknowledge God that way? Because that's what it says. It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Everything we do, we acknowledge him. Then I think not only my movements, I think about my marriage. I think most of us in this room are married. I know, if it's not, then it's still you can understand the illustration here. My marriage. Do I acknowledge God in my marriage? I think it's amazing where some husbands hold to a certain thing. That wife's got to submit to me. And that wife that says, that husband doesn't love me the way it is. And they want so much, but do they acknowledge God in the way they treat them? I am treating my wife this way because I acknowledge God and I see God has asked me to do this. And I'm acknowledging God, this is the way I'm treating her. This is the way I'm treating him. Do I acknowledge God? Because he say, no, I can do whatever I want. It's my life. I've given my tithes. I've done all these things. I'm trusting in God. But when we trust in God, we're also supposed to acknowledge him. Okay, Lord, I have confidence in you. I have put my faith in you. I'm living this life for you. Okay, if that's what we're doing, then I'm acknowledging him every time when I do something because my faith and confidence is not in my own wits. It's not in my own abilities. It's not in my own talents. It's found in God. So I'm acknowledging God. This is the way I'm going to treat my husband and treat my wife because this is what God, every single time I'm acknowledging him. Okay, Lord, this is what you want me to do. Lord, you want me to forgive. Lord, you want me to love. Lord, you want me to submit. Lord, you want me to choose for the better part of my family instead of the better part of me. So acknowledging it. And then I thought about my ministry. My ministry. I know you say, well, that's you, Pastor. You're the pastor. No, we all have a ministry. We all have a spiritual gift that God has given us. And we all should have some type of ministry. You say, Pastor, I don't have a ministry. And then we should get one. Even if it's being a prayer ministry, even if it is something simple or something is complex, whatever God has called you to do is something we should do. And it's a ministry we should have. And we should acknowledge him in this ministry and say, okay, Lord, this is the talent you've given me. This is the ministry I want to have. Also thought about my motives. I think motives and ministry kind of go hand in hand, but it's another M. So my motives. I want to acknowledge God in my motives. And we talked about this past Sunday morning, and it's something that's always heavy on my heart, is that we're serving for the right way and for the right reasons. I still imagine and picture Jesus washing his disciples' feet and what's going through their minds. You ever gotten something and you're like, no, you probably shouldn't have it? You know, I'm going to give it to you, but you don't really deserve it. And you're like, it takes away all the enjoyment. I don't think the disciples really enjoyed getting their feet washed. I think they were getting taught a lesson. And that's happened to me many a times. But they're saying, look, your motives are all wrong. You're so interested in being the greatest. And you say that you trust in me. You say you trust in me. and I'm going to take care of you. Someday you're going to sit up there with me on the thrones, and all those 12 different, you know, the 12 of them are going to sit there. I'm going to take care of you. I don't need to show you all the things. And we talked about that last week a little bit on Wednesday night about trusting him. He said, I'm going to show you all the things I'm going to do for you. Remember when the rich young man left and he says, what do we get to have? And God's going to take care of us. But what's our motives today? Sometimes our motives are about, I don't trust God to take care of me. I need to get what I can out of this life. That's not acknowledging God. Acknowledging God in our motives would be, Lord, I'm doing this because I think you want me to. Lord, I might get some enjoyment of helping the kids. I might get some enjoyment out of singing. I might get some enjoyment out of speaking. I might get some enjoyment, but that's not the reason why I do it. The reason why I do it, Lord, is because I'm acknowledging that you've called me and that you've given me a purpose and you've given me a reason and you've made me a part of this church and I'm part of this local church and I want to see this church grow. I want to see this church thrive. I want to see this church bring glory to you and I want to make sure my motives are clear. It's not so I can get the praise of men. It's not so I can get the praise of the pastor. It's not so I can get recognized. It's not so I can be the greatest. It's because I acknowledge you. Some other M's, you know, we talked about my money. We already mentioned that, you know, but we acknowledge him. And I know that there's a portion here we talked about acknowledging him when it comes to our substance and our first fruits. But I'm talking about the other 90% too. I'm not saying, now you're asking for 100%. I ain't asking for anything. This is God. I'm just preaching God's word. But how we use the other 90%, I think we should acknowledge God with that too. I don't think we should use it for wicked things. Now, can you do things you enjoy? Of course. Can you do things that are can help you in the long run? Of course. But I think we need to acknowledge God. Why? Because it says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him in all of our areas of our life. You say, I hear people say, well, God don't care how you dress. God don't care what you watch. God don't care what you listen to. God don't, we're under grace. Well, it says right there, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Then the Lord is going to be able to direct thy paths. But if we're not acknowledging him in all ways, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get off the pathway. We're not going to go that pathway that God wants to do because, okay, God, you want me to go this way. And if we don't ask him, Lord, okay, I'm coming this way. Do you want? If we don't, we just make a turn. You know what happens? We get off the path that what God wants us to do, and we start doing what we wanted to do. I'm sure that Joseph at different times could have said, okay, I'm number one in Potiphar's house now. I'm going to just be happy here. He could have had that affair with that woman, and Potiphar probably would have never known. Or maybe would have been happy being ruler or the guy in charge of the prison. You know, I'm not just a regular prisoner. I'm the guy that gets to be the in charge of the prison. And you know what we do? We miss God's perfect plan for us. We throw in saying, I'm going to be head of Potiphar's house or I'm going to be head of the jail when we can be second in charge of all Egypt. And I think in our own lives is that when we stop acknowledging him, God's got this great plan and this purpose. He wants you to be the main character in the story that he has written for your life. And it's something fantastic. You say, Pastor, you know, what if I'm just a church member for my whole life? Then that's fantastic if that's what God wants you to do. What if I just work with kids? Fantastic if that's what God... Why? Because God knows the end from the beginning. God knows how to direct your path. God knows exactly what he has created you and made you to do. I think one of the greatest things you can do as a lady is to be a wonderful housewife and a helpmate to your husband. Now you say, well, you mean it's wrong? I didn't say anything about being wrong. I'm just saying don't take any shame in saying, hey, I live for God and I help my husband and I raise kids to love the Lord. There's not that's a privilege there, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But also, you know, as a husband, the same thing, you know, being the head of a household and doing these things, there's nothing bad about that. There's nothing, even though society tries to tell you that you're wrong and that you're stupid, we're not acknowledging society. We're not checking with the tabloids and with the news and with the modern TVs. We're not acknowledging them what we're going to do. We're acknowledging with God and saying, God, okay, this is where I think you want me to go. Is this the way you want me to go? And as we acknowledge God, then he can direct our paths. But when we stop asking, that's when he's going to stop directing. I don't know about you, but I like my GPS. Some people are challenged in different things, and I have a few challenges. And one of the things I am challenged at is directionally. I don't know why. I've just never been good. Most of you know my wife drives more than I do, and that works best for our marriage. She is a horrible passenger. and I don't like to drive. And so it just works for us. She'll tell you that. She does not like to drive, and she's a bad passenger. She's one of these ladies that will grab a hold of thing. And I mean, I think I'm a little bit even a better driver than she is, but it works for us. I had an accident when I was 18 years old. It was a pretty serious car accident, and I just never been a big fan of driving. Say I'm a wimp, that's fine. I drive if I have to, but if I don't have to, it's great. Somebody chauffeurs me around. Well, I need to listen to my GPS, because when I'm sitting in the seat, usually I am doing things related to ministry, either on the phone, here at church things, or I'm talking to my wife, I'm talking to my boys. Very rarely do I pay attention to where I'm going. My wife will, she takes care of that, she does that. And I listen to my GPS. When I turn my GPS off, you know what? It's not going to tell me where to go. It's off. I mean, it doesn't make, so if I stop acknowledging God and stop asking God for direction in my life, he's not going to keep on leading me. But when I trust in the Lord, after I've already put God's word in my heart, after I've already written it in my heart, and I've not forsaken mercy, and I've not forsaken truth, and I've trusted him with all my heart, and I'm not leaning to my own understanding, and I'm saying, okay, Lord, I got my confidence in you. Now tell me which way you want to go. I think I'm supposed to go this way. Is this way you want me to go? I'm acknowledging him, and he's going to direct my paths. Then you get all the health and wealth. You know, it's good for your navel, and it's and your barns are going to be filled. Those are all great things. That is God's plan for health and wealth. These other guys that are on TV to tell you if you send them money, then you're going to be wealthy. There is somebody that's going to be wealthy. It's not going to be you. It's going to be the guy on TV that says he's going to pray for you for $10. So I'll pray for you for free, okay? So, but neither one of us is probably going to be healthy and going to be wealthy in that aspect of this world's goods. But you know what? God has a plan and a purpose that is better than anything man can imagine. He's got a will for your life. Tonight, acknowledge him in all your ways, in our attitudes and in our motives, in our marriage, in our movements, in our ministry. Everything. Let's say, okay, God, is this what you want me to do? Is this how you want me to act? You say, that seems impossible. No, it's just acknowledging he's there. You know, many times when someone else is in the room, we'll acknowledge him. Hey, do you care if I sit here? Do you care if I turn the air conditioner down? Do you care if I change the TV channel? Do you care if I do this? Care? That's what acknowledging somebody is. And we're saying, Lord, are you good with what I'm doing? God, is this the way I should be treating? Is this what I should be doing? This is how I should be treating my, this is how I'm supposed to raise my kids? Is this what I'm supposed to say to my wife? You know, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed.